You're listening to Bloomberg Business Week. I'm Jason Kelly alongside Carol Masser, and this is Bloomberg Radio.
Yeah, that's what you want to do, right? When you're skiing, just be at the top of the world. But I have to say that reading luxury real estate listings, it's kind of my version of Jason reading the sports pages. I'm just thinking. I love doing that. Luxury listings, whether they're on the water or on the slopes, it's my kind of thing. And we're going to talk about on the slopes, which leads us to Dan Kahn. He is CEO of Christie's International Real Estate in our Bloomberg Interactive Broker Studio. Happy holidays. Nice to have you here.
Thank you. Thanks for having me back. Happy holidays.
Is there a lot of listings out there when it comes to kind of luxury sites if you want to go hit the slopes?
Yes. A lot, with the exception of a couple of markets where actually inventory is getting tight.
Really?
Where is it tight?
Yeah.
Aspen, super tight. Telluride is getting tight. There are a couple of other markets where, you know, particular ends of the market, it's hard to find.
Where's the best bargain?
The best
on the
bargain.
High end.
Well, it honestly depends where you are looking. I think there's a real arbitrage between Aspen and Snowmass.
Yeah.
Aspen, average price, $11.8 million. Snowmass this year, top price, $4.4.
Wow, big difference.
Because Snowmass has really invested pretty heavily in its footprint, I feel like. There's just so much going on out there. I happened to be out that way earlier this year. It's amazing, just the construction, the cranes, everything.
Yeah, it's and the brands that are going, right?
Yes.
Viceroy opened up there. I mean, that's a big statement about the potential for Snowmass. We're there, right? We opened a brokerage there for, you know, very obvious reasons.
Right.
But we just did that, which we're excited about. But there's a lot going on there.
What's new? What's interesting that's going on? Because, like, we did a segment in the magazine this week that really took a look at what's going on kind of in the world of skiing, and it talked about the mega passes, and there's a lot of renovation going on in terms of slopes. So I'm just curious how that plays into the real estate market.
Well, some interesting things to know, right? I think sort of when you think of ease of access, I always think of Salt Lake and getting into the slopes out there. They're investing almost $4 billion in an airport. So they've already got direct lift, and it's just going to get better. I think that market will explode, frankly. Jackson Hole, if there were ever a knock on it, I mean, it's an incredible place. It was a nice little enclave. They just opened up a new lodge solitude station. And really the thesis of it is to get more accessibility for young kids, which it was the knock before. So not that it was hurting for real estate trends, right? I mean, there was a huge amount of focus on that market, but I think that's really helping them. Sun Valley, they're opening up another 380-acre project. So there are a number of markets where they're really trying to invest. Yeah.
Right?
Well, that's the terrain. And then the question is supply. Sure. I mean, Jackson, 97% of the surrounding area is protected. So you're actually really supply constrained. Aspen, you really can't develop. And with Snowmass, you're getting some new inventory.
Yeah.
Yeah, there are a few markets where it's hard. You really need to know the sort of little enclaves that people aren't aware of.
So put Jason in a property. Just take a look at him. Where do you think he would be, like, at home?
An unknown celebrity enclave in Starwood.
The paparazzi drive me bananas, and so I just want to be cool and ski.
We barely got through here. It was crazy. All the people waiting.
I know, it's insane.
Take your photo.
Those are mostly for Carol, but a few for me.
No, you have no idea.
No.
No, but seriously, like, give us some ideas of some of the other properties that are out there. I'm always curious.
Well, it's a broad range. It's interesting to look. I looked at a townhouse, you know, a semi-detached.
Yeah.
In the town of Aspen, it was stunning, floor-to-ceiling windows, double height floors, and that was priced at just under $4.5 million, which, you know, in a lot of the world seems to be excessive pricing, but in Aspen, that's actually, you know, I think approachably priced. There's another fabulous property on the market there. It's on 7 acres that was asking $39 million. I mean, you know, just sensational, 21,000 feet.
Wow.
Stellar.
How much turnover is there in these properties? Or do people tend to buy them and own them for a while?
Yeah, it's mixed. The people who are going to places like Jackson, they're really going to get off the grid a little bit. So when they're buying, they're buying because they want to hold. There are a couple of markets where I think you see a little bit more trading. People get there and then they make a decision that they want to move on, right? Aspen was, for example, the darling of everybody at the high end for a while. And then Jackson became desirable because it was a bit off, a little quieter, you know?
Yeah.
Well, because part of what people want to do is they obviously want to get away, of your clients, and to generalize, I mean, how many of them are sort of going for the skiing and how many of them are going for sort of the social scene?
And how many are actually now going for Four Seasons, right?
Right.
I mean, I've got good friends who, she lives with her family in Florida. She's thinking about pulling up the stakes and moving to Aspen. Our co-owner in the Aspen Enterprise is from Florida. He just did the same thing with his three kids. They just said, we want to be there. And they really view it as a four-season town.
It's an amazing place during the summer, too.
It's beautiful.
It's just gorgeous.
I'm thinking France. That's where I want to go.
France, yeah. I'm with you.
Just saying.
All the food.
And I want to go there 365 days.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah. Dan Kahn is CEO of Christie's International Real Estate with us.
Thank you.
In our
Thank
Bloomberg
you.
Interactive Broker Studio. Man, I just want to get on a plane and go skiing.
I know, right?
Yeah,
I'm done. So, ebbs and flows. That is certainly Jason Kelly, the housing market. Of course, we got to talk about high-end home
storing, real estate,
ski slopes around the world. That was a lot of fun. We do have a story, though, on the Bloomberg today asking if higher rates sank U.S. home sales, will lower ones save them? So, great opportunity to dig into the housing market because we've got Glenn Kelman. He's with us. He's the CEO at Redfin. He joins us on the phone from Seattle. Glenn, nice to have you here. I do think we're all trying to figure out what's going on in the U.S. housing market. From your vantage point, it just depends, right? Location, location, location.
It does. The coastal markets are down for the count, whether it's Seattle, San Francisco, New York, or Washington, D.C. Those markets have seen double-digit declines in sales, but their loss has been the gain of cities like Boise, Salt Lake, Denver, and now, of course, Austin with Apple moving there this morning.
How are they going to find enough? We were talking about that in our studio. Like, that's a lot of people being, you know, thrown there at Austin.
To an already tight market,
yeah.
Right?
Austin is straining against its limits. We've seen housing prices there shooting up. The infrastructure is being taxed to the max. Traffic is a mess.
Right.
So that's one little town that is going through a similar process that Denver, Portland, and Seattle have already gone through.
Right.
How to deal with the incredible prosperity and growth that tech brings. They'll figure it out, but it's going to be a painful few years as they do.
You know, Glenn, you shared some numbers with us that I wanted to share with our listeners because I was pretty blown away by them. Last year, 91% of homes in Seattle sold after a bidding war. Now it's just 21%. That's a huge come down.
Yeah.
The number of single family homes for sale in the area increased 114% over the past year. For condos, the increase 244%. So what accounts for all that?
Well, Seattle just got too expensive.
Yeah.
Amazon caught a cold and everyone got sick, so its stock price has moderated somewhat. It's moving, obviously, to Nashville, Washington, D.C., and New York. And as a result, all the people coming from California haven't been able to keep housing prices moving up. And so this question that we started the program with about whether a moderation in interest rate increases is going to help the housing market get better, I'm sure that will be welcome news. But that isn't the only challenge the housing market has. Housing prices have been going up so much faster than wages, and we haven't invested in the basic infrastructure of the middle class. It used to be that mayors got together with developers and zoned for plenty of density, got more housing built, and that just hasn't happened over the past decade. And so you're going to see every major American city really crimped by the lack of supply.
Well, and it's interesting. I feel like, Glenn, we've been talking about that story, that problem, for several years at this point. I mean, it just doesn't seem fair nor right. I wonder if we're going to see any kind of change. You know, is it that we need public officials to require developers to do more when they're doing developments? I mean, how do we fix this problem?
Well, I think the first thing we have to do is say, yes, I want housing in my backyard. So I think the challenge is just that most mayors don't want to be caught dead with a builder. And really, that partnership is what housed previous generations, and it isn't working right now because there's such a divide over how to handle prosperity and how to handle growth. And now you've got buyers who have just said enough is enough. And I think their faltering confidence could spread to the rest of the economy. That's the $64,000 question. Is the economy going to pull housing back from the brink, or is housing going to affect the rest of the U.S. economy?
And got to ask you about technology, because obviously you guys have been on the forefront at Redfin on, you know, really using technology as part of the real estate process.
Yeah.
Spending in real estate technology is going to, it has been growing dramatically. And as you say, we're going into a broadly softening market. So what does that mean? People are just going to buy and sell differently?
Well, there's certainly new technologies that are changing the real estate market. You've got these instant offers where tech companies like Redfin, Zillow, Opendoor are offering to buy your house and saying, we'll handle the sale. And some of that has been driven by this hundredfold increase in capital coming to real estate technology. There's a broad Wall Street consensus now that real estate really is going to change. And I think what's a little scary about that is that all the money came in right as the market softened. And so at some point, you're probably going to see some consolidation in the space where some of the traditional brokers are going to combine with some of the newfangled websites. There's just a lot of capital suddenly chasing fewer sales.
Hey, listen, so I'm curious about the trends you're going to be watching out for 2019. What are going to be, you think, the housing stories, Glenn, that we'll be talking about?
Well, I do think you're going to see governments wake up to the primary pocketbook issue for the middle class. It's not about groceries or gas. It's about the cost of housing. Already, Senator Elizabeth Warren has made some noise about that, proposing that we make housing more affordable. But you're also going to see more HQ2s and really more working from home. This is the year, I think, in 2019 when the office is going to empty out, as it is when a manager meets an employee who says, I can't make this two-hour commute anymore and I can't afford to live closer to the office. I want to work from home. The manager's just relieved.
Right.
There's Slack and GitHub and all this other stuff that makes it work. And wages have just reached a breaking point. So I think that you're going to see more people trying to work from home, not just an hour from the office, but across the country.
Well, and that's probably
probably
good news for city planners as well, because maybe that's one less car on the streets. Glenn Kelman, Chief Executive Officer at Redfin, joining us from Seattle. Great to be with you.